Welcome back to your Half Hour to Health with Dr. Mark DiBenedetto. For those of you who are new to our show, let me give you a little bit of background about myself. I graduated from Edison High School in 1981. That's in New Jersey. I was a district wrestling champion there and still hold the school record for the fastest pin, which was 8 seconds. I went on to Rutgers University. I was a teaching assistant there. I continued to wrestle all through Rutgers, and I graduated there in 1985. I then went on to Palmer College of Chiropractic in Davenport, Iowa. Now, for those of you not familiar with Palmer, within the profession, by many, that is considered the Harvard of chiropractic. It's certainly considered the fountainhead because it's where chiropractic was discovered. And I graduated there in 1991. I graduated with cum laude honors and on the president's list. But I always say I came back from Palmer with something more important. That's where I met my wife, Dr. Tammy DiBenedetto. And together, we have owned and operated Mifflintown Family Chiropractic for the past 19 years. And in that time, we have successfully treated over 5,000 patients. I'd like to just take a minute to thank everyone who's been sending me the cards and the emails and even their questions, which I try to respond to every single one of them each week, because that helps me determine the topic for the next health talk. If you have missed any of our previous shows, just know we now have them all archived on our website. So if you go to www.MifflintownChiro, and Chiro is CHIRO.com. And right at the top, you'll see Wellness Library. And if you click on that, the first thing in the drop-down menu is Dr. Mark's radio shows. You can play any of them right there. You can download them to a CD or an MP3 player. Heck, you can listen to me while you're in the car or while you're working out. You can also sign up for our free email newsletter. Again, right when you're at the website, www.MifflintownChiro.com. If you click on newsletter, just follow the procedure to subscribe. And I want you to know I have a special offer at the end of my show as a gift just for taking the time to listen to me today. You know, as this year comes to a close, I would like to thank all of my loyal listeners. When I started this show 1 year ago, I never foresaw the incredible response it would receive. I think back to a quote from the true educator of chiropractic. His name was B.J. Palmer. And he said, "You never know how far-reaching what you say or do will affect the lives of millions tomorrow." One story that comes to mind was from a listener named Joe. Now, Joe started listening to my show while he was in jail, serving time for drunk driving. His life was on a path of total destruction. He was obviously drinking too much. He was overweight, was not working out, was in troubled relationships, and simply not living a life God would be proud of. But after listening to many shows over a period of months, he started to realize that each day is a gift from God, and he needed to start taking care of himself better. So Joe started to exercise while confined in his cell, something he had not done for years. He started to pray and noticed he felt a feeling of inner peace. He tried to be more selective on his diet and started to notice changes in his body. He told me how much he looked forward to every Sunday morning just so he could listen to a new show. When he finally got out of jail, he was a new person. Healthier, happier, and most importantly, committed to never drinking again. It was these type of stories that made me excited to record each and every show. So this week, if you listen to what I will tell you, it can change your life and make 2011 your best year ever. It all starts with a reflection of 2010. Because if you don't know where you have been, you certainly won't know where you're going. So my recommendation to find a place to start is make it a quiet place. Get a clean sheet of paper and a pen. Start writing down everything that was bad about 2010. The things that didn't go right or brought you down. Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe you gained 10 pounds. Maybe you went through a bad divorce. Whatever it was, write it down. If you don't write it down, it's hard to come to peace with your past. Once that is done, the funner part starts. I want you to now write down all the positive things that happened in 2010. Maybe you found a job. Maybe you got married. Maybe you recovered from cancer. Maybe you lost 10 pounds. Whatever it is, write it down because it's important to honor your achievements. You will be surprised how many positive things happened, even in a seemingly bad year. Now, for the most important part of your preparation for the upcoming year, to make 2011 the greatest year of your life, you must write down your goals for that year. You can't just keep them in your mind. That is an action of fear. Be bold. Write down goals that give you that tickle in your tummy just to think about it. Write down goals that make your heart beat faster or even take your breath away when you say them. I personally like to write down two sets of goals. One is my NHAGS, and that's N-H-A-G, and that's an acronym for my next happily obtainable goal. And then I also have my BHAGs, B-H-A-G, and I call those my big, hairy, audacious goals. Understand, it can take many NHAGs to reach your BHAG. Let's first understand, though, the difference between a wish and a goal. A wish is something you hope happens, while a goal is something precise, obtainable, has a clear plan, and is easily measurable. Let me give you an example, one which is very common the beginning of each year. I want you to tell me which one is a wish and which is a goal. Okay, so it's I want to lose weight or I want to lose 30 pounds in 6 months. Which one do you think is the better? That's right. I want to lose 30 pounds in 6 months is far superior. And, you know, your goal can be anything. I'm just giving you an example of weight. Now, once you list your goals, we must form a battle plan because it's not good enough just to list it. You want to know how you're going to achieve it. So let's stay with the example I just gave you about losing weight. If you want to lose 30 pounds in 6 months, we must first chunk it down. So you take 30 pounds, divide it by 6 months. Now you're at 5 pounds per month. That's what you need to know. Now that already seems more possible, doesn't it? Well, let's go a little further. Take that 5 pounds and divide it by about 5 weeks in a month, right? Now we're down to about 1 pound per week. That really seems doable. Now, what do we need to do to lose 1 pound per week? I'm just giving you a brief list just so you get the idea of a battle plan. Start by exercising 5 days per week for 30 minutes. And you've got to fit it in your schedule. It can't be something that, you know, you keep trying to do just if you have time. That's why I love working out in the morning. The only excuse I could possibly have is I didn't get up. Stop drinking soda. Even diet. There's not one positive thing I can think about in soda. Switch over to water and make sure that 80% of what you drink in any day is water. That's your cleanser and it's your detox. And if you never heard the formula on how to figure out how much water to drink, let me explain. It goes like this. If you take half your body weight in ounces and then multiply it by 80, that's a good number of ounces for you to drink. For example, if you're a 200-pound male or female, and you divide it by 2, so now we're at 100 ounces, multiply it by 80%, that means you're going to drink 80 ounces of water per day. If you're only 100 pounds, you can see how the formula will adjust for that. Not everybody needs 6 to 8 glasses per day. It should be adjusted by your size. Stop eating fried foods. Commit to eating red meat only 2 to 4 times per month. Start eating a diet rich in God's foods. That means your fruits, vegetables, nuts. Stay away from processed foods, which means anything man-made or in a wrapper. Stop eating 2 to 3 meals per day. I mean, that went out with the hula hoop. Eat small meals 5 to 6 times per day. That's called grazing. That is just a short list to give you an idea of what a battle plan might look like. Now, once you're done writing everything down, I don't want you to fold it up and put it in a desk drawer, kind of tucked away under a few things. That means you will probably forget about it within a few days, only to find that same piece of paper crumbled up 1 year later while cleaning out your dresser drawer or your desk. I recommend making several copies and posting them in places you have to see them on a daily basis. Next to your bed. Wake up to it. Tape it to a mirror where you have to shave or do your hair. Leave one in your car. And just know your goal should not be a secret. Tell everyone what you will achieve. This is an act of complete conviction and determination. It is not easy to put yourself out there, but the more you do, the more likely you will be to achieve your goal. If it is a secret, is it an act? It's an act of fear, which has already undermined your success. Make sure you write down a start date, an end date for your goals. And most importantly, I want you to sign your goal sheet. This has now become a contract with yourself. Next, recruit a friend who can you can trust and they'll support you. And more importantly, they're going to hold you accountable each and every day on how you did and how you became closer to reaching your goal. Next, you must have a reward. It's kind of a fun part. Because you want something. What if you achieve that goal? It was a big project, so don't let it just go unnoticed. It should be something really special. Now, it does not have to cost money, but it should be something tangible. Maybe that golf club you wanted, or that dress that you can now fit into if you lost some weight. Maybe it will be a day just to yourself to finish that book you bought a year ago. Whatever it is, be creative. The next part is not so fun because I want you to pick a punishment for not reaching your goal. This should be something you really don't enjoy doing and probably would not do otherwise. shampooing all the carpets, painting the basement, cleaning out the attic, whatever. This makes your goals real. It can't just be if you don't achieve your goal, well, nice job. Try better next time. That doesn't work. We have to have the carrot dangling in front of us, and we want the dog with the sharp teeth behind us. Lastly, if you don't achieve your goal, you not only have to do the punishment, but you must give your reward to your friend. And if your friend is a real friend, they will accept it. It is natural that they would not want to, but that defeats the purpose. Think about your kids. If you keep threatening them when they have bad behavior, but never follow through with a punishment, you are just telling them it's okay. So there you have it. A surefire way to make 2011 your best year ever. This is the way all of the top CEOs and successful people achieve. Remember, winners do what the rest of us won't. As my dad taught me as a young boy, what you are capable of is unlimited, but what you are willing to do determines your destiny. Don't let January 1st be just another day. It's around the corner. Let it be the year that you achieve all your dreams. The choice is really yours. Imagine 20 years from now, you can look back and say 2011 changed your life. The beginning of a year is a new zero. It's a clean slate. Turn the page. If 2010 was awful, change it. If 2010 was great, make it better. But don't let January 1st be just another day. I think of a story of Michael Johnson. And for those of you who don't know him, he was a famous runner. And he was considered the fastest man on the planet. He's won 4 Olympic gold medals and 8 world championships. But in his book called Slaying the Dragon, he talks about a meeting with his coach around 1992. That was 4 years prior to the 1996 Atlanta Olympics. At that time, he was a good runner, but not great. So he asked his coach what he had to do to shave 1 full second off his 200-meter sprint time to make him an elite runner and go under sub-20 for that length race. His coach, without hesitation, and I'm summarizing, stated, "You need to work out 8 hours a day, 6 days a week for the next 4 years." Michael actually started to laugh, but he noticed his coach was not laughing. He then began to kind of chuckle and say, "Well, what else can I do? In other words, what's plan B?" His coach said, "There is no plan B. That's it, Michael." So at that moment in time, his coach was basically telling him, "You are capable of greatness, but what are you willing to do to achieve it?" 4 years later, after training 8 hours per day, 6 days per week, Michael Johnson ran the 200 meter in 19.32 seconds, which was an Olympic and world record, which would stand for 12 years. So I ask you, how much do you really want to be healthier? Would you rather lose 20 to 30 pounds or live a life on high blood pressure and high cholesterol medications? Think about this. If I had a patient who was overweight, does not exercise, does not eat right, does not drink enough water, does not get adjusted regularly, and he goes to his MD complaining of tiredness, headaches, and just does not feel right. After an exam, his MD says, "I found your problem. You have high blood pressure and high cholesterol." So he prescribes those medications and tells him to come back in 8 weeks. When he comes back, his blood pressure and cholesterol numbers are perfect. I ask you a simple question. Is he any healthier? See, in my opinion, absolutely not. He will just die with good numbers. He is still overweight, does not eat right, doesn't drink enough water or exercise. He still has all those bad behaviors. If your back hurts, will you continue to take muscle relaxants, painkillers, anti-inflammatories, which at best usually just mask the problem? Or will you finally get to the chiropractor who can correct the cause of your problem? Low back pain is not a lack of muscle relaxants in the body. Headaches are not a lack of aspirin in the body. Health is more than the absence of disease. We are a society of procrastination. Remember, one of my dad's favorite sayings, the road named someday leads to a town called nowhere, which means simply, if you never start, you will never finish. So let this year be different. Stop smoking. Start exercising. Eat better. And most importantly, get to the chiropractor. At the beginning of every year, I offer a free class for all my patients. It's called Total Life Conditioning. This class covers what you should do from the time you get up to the time you go to bed to live a happy, healthier life. I would love to see you there. Before I go today, I wanted to share a story a friend of mine recently sent me. It's called The Cab Ride. And it goes like this. I arrived at the address and honked the horn. After waiting a few minutes, I walked to the door and knocked. "Just a minute," answered a frail, elderly voice. I could hear something being dragged across the floor. After a long pause, the door opened. A small woman in her 90s stood before me. She was wearing a print dress and a pillbox hat with a veil pinned on it, like somebody out of a 1940s movie. By her side was a small nylon suitcase. The apartment looked as if no one had lived in it for years. All the furniture was covered with sheets. There were no clocks on the walls, no knickknacks or utensils on the counters. In the corner was a cardboard box filled with photos and glassware. "Would you carry my bag out to the car?" she said. I took the suitcase to the cab and returned to assist the woman. She took my arm and we walked slowly toward the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. "It's nothing," I told her. "I just try to treat my passengers the way I would want my mother to be treated." "Oh, you're such a good boy," she said. When we got in the cab, she gave me an address and then asked, "Could you drive through downtown?" "It's not the shortest way," I answered quickly. "Oh, I don't mind," she said. "I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice." I looked in the rearview mirror. Her eyes were glistening. "I don't have any family left," she continued in a soft voice. "The doctors say I don't have very long. I quietly reached over and I shut off the meter. "What route would you like me to take?" I asked. For the next 2 hours, we drove through the city. She showed me the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had gone dancing as a girl. Sometimes she'd ask me to slow in front of a particular building or corner and would sit staring into the darkness, saying nothing. As the first hint of sun was creasing the horizon, she suddenly said, "I'm tired. Let's go now." We drove in silence to the address she had given me. It was a low building, like a small convalescent home, with a driveway that passed under a portico. Two orderlies came out to the cab as soon as we pulled up. They were solicitous and intent, watching her every move. They must have been expecting her. I opened the trunk and took the small suitcase to the door. The woman was already seated in a wheelchair. "How much do I owe you?" she asked, reaching into her purse. "Nothing," I said. "You have to make a living," she answered. "There are other passengers," I responded. Almost without thinking, I bent and gave her a hug. She held on to me tightly. "You gave an old woman a little moment of joy," she said. "Thank you." I squeezed her hand and then walked into the dim morning light. Behind me, a door shut. It was the sound of the closing of a life. I didn't pick up any more passengers that shift. I drove aimlessly and thought. For the rest of that day, I could hardly talk. What if that woman had gotten an angry driver or one that was impatient to end his shift? What if I had refused to take the run or had honked once, then driven away? On a quick review, I don't think that I've done anything more important in my life. We're conditioned to think that our lives revolve around great moments. But great moments often catch us unaware, beautifully, wrapped in what others may consider a small one. People may not remember exactly what you did or what you said, but they will always remember how you made them feel. That's a beautiful story on how we can all make a difference in the world. I can't think of a better time of year than Christmas, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to renew our vows to be a better person. It is so easy in this fast-paced world to lose focus on what is important. Deep down, we all want to be a better husband, wife, son, daughter, and servant to God. We just need to refocus, and it starts with setting your goals. Ultimately, you will not be remembered for what you do for yourself, but more for what you do for other people. So I just want to say, it has been my absolute pleasure to be with you over the past year. And I wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas. And as I promised in the beginning of my talk, I have a special offer for all of you who took the time to listen to me today. We have opened 15 new patient appointments in our office. So if you are one of the first 15 people who called today, you will receive a comprehensive chiropractic examination, any necessary x-rays, a thermography scan, range of motion study, and posture evaluation for just $27. That would normally cost approximately $160 in our office. So call 436-9017, 436-9017, 436-9017. This might just be the most important checkup you have ever had. So until next time, live a life with passion, and we will see you in 2 weeks for your next Half Hour to Health.